We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History, a show that is dedicated to being the voice of those underserved communities whose contributions and actions of trying to make a better world for all people that has been left out, phased out, or refused to be recognized by the established media and the historical records. Tonight, we will continue our discussion from our first program. In essence, really talking about what is missing pages of history. We stated earlier that missing pages of history has a model which states that they are using communication as a means of building communities. And we want to stay on this particular course tonight, talking about building communities through communication. Tonight, we have with us members of Missing Pages of History. We have with our sister June McLean out of Philadelphia. We have with our sister Susan Robson out of Richmond, Virginia. And we have an international sister with us, Kit Eltrup out of Denmark. Along with that, we have with us our brother Mikhail McLean, also out of Philly. So what we'd like to do is pick up from our first episode and have a continuation on, in essence, what is Missing Pages of History, and talk about some of the various communities that want to be a part of making up this institution. But before we get started on that, I think there's something I would like to share with the audience, being the host and also being a member of Missing Pages of History, Lee Robinson, a brief history of how Missing Pages of History was founded. And starting off with its history, I would like to basically say that Missing Pages of History was conceived in the early 1980s. It was conceived out of the reality of recognizing that one of the major contributions that African people and people who have been oppressed or locked out or unrepresented, one of the major contradictions that they all have in common is the contradiction of not knowing the historical past or not knowing that history. And we know when any time a group or organization or a nation, when it does not know its history, it becomes vulnerable. It becomes vulnerable to forces who can manipulate the conception of what they are, who they are, as well as it can allow them to not to be able to conceive their possibilities. In other words, it can limit a people or a person's growth when one controls your history and when you don't know your history. I think this contradiction has been a major contradiction for particularly oppressed people, African people in general. So one of the things in terms of looking at the overall world conditions of our people, we realize one of the fundamental issues that we have and oppressed communities or underserved communities have is they have not understood the importance of history, nor do they really understood or understand. Not only they don't understand their history, but they don't have a sense of what their history, what history existed prior before their existence. So what we wanted to do, what I wanted to as a visionary, me and another young lady, Gloria Johnson came into, Gloria Doreen came into existence of formulating an organization that would make this be our foundation or our cornerstone of serving a void of information as relates to contributions and history that African people may have made, as well as other oppressed minorities. So what we thought we would do is first understand that communication is very, very important in terms of being able to give people information where they can conceive and think. We recognize that human beings, one of the things that make us different from animals is that with information we can think and without information we cannot think. So therefore, our first task was to give our people the proper information, the proper history of what has taken place before and what they have done within that whole arena of being a part of the human race and making contributions so humanity can become better. So what we wanted to do, we initiated a program, a live talk show program that has been aired for over 10 to 15 years in Richmond, Virginia, based upon trying to instill in our people the things that they have contributed to humanity and why they should see themselves as being a part of the human race, not only part of the human race, but they have value that can be used to better those to come. So with the TV program, We establish ourselves on a monthly, weekly basis of doing documentaries just for that purpose. The whole point was to make the world aware of these contributions from African people and oppressed communities. As time went on and trying to realize, let's go from a TV program to maybe take it to a level higher, and that level higher is the level of building the organization. Just for that purpose, we are attempting to bring in people who have ideas and skills similar to the kind of ideas that we have to make this come to fruition. That was a void for a while, but about 5 to 7 years, where our activities was very low and we had to reorganize and readjust and make some changes. Since that time, in the last two years or so, we are reorganized into forming a non-profit corporation, community development corporation, where we're going to try to make this become real. We are creating a non-profit organization called Missing Pages of History, and its task is to do just that, create an organization that will unite and connect our communities on a global basis. And we think the world on a global basis is important because this is because of the fact of technology today. Human beings can now exchange information and ideas and connect with each other all over the world at the same time. And they can do it in a way where it can become an everyday tool that we can use to govern our lives and our actions and our activities. So what we seek to do in this organization was a couple of things. First, we wanted to build a foundation that would be the cornerstone allowing Mr. Page's history to grow. Right now, we have 3 primary chapters, which we say is the organic link of making this happen. Those chapters are North Carolina, Raleigh, Durham, Richmond, Virginia, and Philadelphia. Then we have 2 supporting sites. Those sites are Oklahoma City and Denmark. And with these geographical regions, what we're doing is we are coordinating our activities where we can do a couple of things. Number one, we are in the process of creating programs. Programs that can be geared towards and dedicated towards working with the youth and students. Also programs that can be geared and dedicated toward working with the elderly. And also programs that can be geared toward dedicated to women. Those are the 3 sectors at this point in time of where we are target that will be a foundation to start building our organization and begin to have an impact on our communities. How will we have impact? One of our major visions is, again, is to develop a communication link. One of the things we would like to do is establish a communication studio, an international communication studio. This studio will be serving the capacity of where we will be able to link and communicate with our brothers and sisters all over the world. We will have satellite stations in different countries where we can do education programs across each other. We can do documentaries and share information. And one of the most beautiful things what we want to do with this communication studio is have it so we can do a viral program where we can go on computers and where we can communicate and talk to each other in different countries at the same time doing joint projects. Now, with this introduction to each other through these particular media, we are now putting ourselves in a position where we can organize physical exchanges where we go to these particular communities and introduce ourselves to each other. And once we introduce ourselves to each other, I think we land the climate where we can now have the base of beginning to talk about economic and political development. But before we can talk about economic and political development, we first and foremost must know each other. So this is the stages where we're at right now. This is some of the visions and ideas that we would like to be in the future. Presently, we have established some core programs in which we can bring into our communities. One of the core programs we want to bring to our community started with in the education field, and we want to work with young students on the elementary level, where we're going to adopt a school program. Now, the purpose of the adopting school program is we want to make sure that kids from undeserved communities are given the foundation to have an equal beginning, an equal start with the rest of the kids and the rest of the community in terms of having a fair change of being able to compete intellectually, educationally speaking. We want to make sure these kids are properly given the proper tools and proper health, proper dignity. We'll make sure that they can have the resources and materials in order to do their classwork. And at the same time, we'll make sure we have support network and instructional network to make sure the kids develop the intellectual capacity to be able to read, write, and articulate. We think with a good starting foundation, and we have a good strong foundation, everything else can be developed from that. So that's one of our core projects that we are in the process of institutionalizing within our various communities. We also want to create a scholarship program where we will have resources where we can aid and help people, brothers and sisters later on, to be able to acquire a level of higher learning and getting into the universities so they can continue their mastering their skills of the languages, the arts, and what have you, to become better citizens, but more importantly, to be able to contribute and create in society, where society can become more productive. So those are just some of our major ideals, goals, and objectives, and one of the things I had in mind in terms of the initial visionary of this project is to, if we don't do nothing else, is to lead the history of our people so those in the future will have something where they can truly engage in terms of when they begin to understand how we have arrived the way we have arrived today, they will have a background reference that will give them an actual landmark of why, how this came in place. Because once you understand how and why something came into existence, we now have the capacity to evolve, to change it, and create something in the context of making it better. But if we don't understand this, then we will always be in the dark trying to figure out how to move forward. So this is one of the visions, this is one of the desires as one of the original founders and a visionary that I have tried to articulate and conceive in terms of trying to do this. Now, given the fact I gave you a general idea of what was the major aspects of what is that we are trying to do and want to become, what I would like to do at this point in time for our audience, maybe get a better sense of what the various communities that we are working in right now, what these communities are like, what are some of the conditions and issues that is going on in our communities, and what we have in common, so we can have a better understanding of not only what we're dealing with, but also allow us to be able to be practical in terms of our assessment of how to move forward. Right now, I'm happy to introduce our sister, international sister, Sister Kit, for Denmark. First, I'd like to welcome her to the program. And I know it's really interesting for our, in terms of our Sister Kit. She's born in Denmark, and many people probably ask, since we are dealing with communities of underserved communities, how do Denmark come into this play? Because they may not have no underserved communities of people. Sister Kit, can you speak to our audience in terms of what life is like in Denmark, and talk about some of the various communities that you have in Denmark?
Well,
are you there, Sister Kit? I think we may be having some problems, Sister Kit. What we'll do, we'll come back to her. Okay, we there? All right, Sister Kit, can you just share what is the social conditions, political conditions, economic conditions? What is the historical condition of Denmark? What types of communities you have there? And what is life like in terms of when we talk about underserved communities? Do any exist in Denmark?
Well, first of all,
we can't hear you, Sister Kit, as you were saying. Okay, I think we have some communication problem, Kit. Let's just continue, and we'll try to come back to her. With the same question, can you talk a little bit about that suburb in Philadelphia? What are some of the underserved communities, and what is the conditions like in Philadelphia? Either Mikhail or June, either one of y'all can take that.
Okay, this is Mikhail. peace, and we have some problems here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania also. We've the African American community, the West Indian community, the Hispanic community, large portions of the European American community are having it pretty rough right now because of the economy. A lot of programs need to be implemented, and there hasn't been too much coordination between those folks. So, again, the communication, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, is highly needed, especially at this time. the children primarily are the ones suffering from the economic collapse in the country. And to address that, we do need to come together, as we regardless of political beliefs or personal beliefs.
Okay. What about in with Sister Susan, her community in Richmond? How would you describe your community and some underserved communities or sectors that you may have in Richmond, Virginia, Sister Susan?
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty much I can reiterate a lot of what Mike McHale said out of Philly. The main thing, it is an issue with the school, the education system. It's they're not really providing what the kids need, but then you're finding out that they're taking the money that they do have access and they're using it for leisure trips. And so there's a fight going on where the community is trying to get them to explain what's the difference in having the leisure trips when you're not putting the money into the educational system for the students. And also poverty, like anything else, with the level, even with the state initiative programs and everything, they are being cut. They are basically cutting out the minority communities and basically allowing the higher regions or economic level individuals to receive the funds that's out there.
You know, I know earlier one of the things we talked about using technology and communication tools to improve our communities. I know that we are looking at developing a newspaper for our community. Maybe Sister Kit, I know you as a journalist, as a writer. How would Mr. Page's History newspaper make different from other newspapers in terms of its content? What would be your vision of that newspaper?
Well, a newspaper has to bring news, and I think the way you pick.
We are having problems here, Sister Kit.
I'm sorry.
Sister Kit? Are you still speaking? Yeah. For our audience, you know, one of the things about technology we learn, you know, everything not always 100% guaranteed. And even when you use these tools, they're not infallible. We like to say we're going to try to work this technical difficulties out with Kit, but we'd like to continue the discussion. I'd like to raise that with Sister June in terms of her conception of how you think, how would this newspaper be used, or what is this conception of Mr. Paper History newspaper, how that may be different from the newspapers we already have, as relates to representing the underserved communities and transforming these communities that we're speaking to. Sister June?
Yes. In terms of or having a vision of a newsletter for Missing Pages of History, this newspaper will not incorporate mainstream information from individuals who are called, quote, the leaders or the front people, like the NBC, CBN people who they have out there out front and tell you what it is that the establishment or that the political forerunners want you to know. This newspaper will incorporate information from the grassroots level, coming from the teachers who are in the school working with the children on a daily basis, who can tell you exactly what's needed. This information will come from information from Africans who have very high conscious levels, doctors, lawyers, who have our interests at heart, who will provide information that will be indicative to our circumstances to make us everything better for us. This information will come from the neighborhoods, your everyday people. You see them walking around and they express a concern. They want it known. We will receive that information. So pretty much in jest, I think this newspaper will indeed reflect the conscious level of us as Africans and those concerns and things that affect us.
Oh, excellent. Very good. We know right now we have a caller on the line who's been listening to the program, and we'd like to welcome this caller. Her name is Fran Jones. She is a organizer out of California. First, I'd like for her to introduce herself and what kind of question comments she like to make as it relates to this question of development in communities, and how she see this question of this conception of Mr. Page's history, how it can be of a tool that can help the communities, the underserved communities in California. Sister Fran, welcome to Mr. Page's History.
Well, thank you very much, Lee. It's good to be here, and this is an amazing conversation this morning. I see it as the beginning of replacing the fragmented type of communication we have not only in the United States but around the world with the underserved. I was listening very carefully to everything that was being said. I'm so sorry I didn't get to hear the sister from Denmark, because that gives you an indication that it's going on around the world and we can connect with others. Sister June was speaking about the newspaper, and I think that is fabulous. I would like to add just a little something to that. Newspaper, work on it. Get it out. And another way, another thing that you need to realize is that we do have access to this type of communication. We are heard around the world. You need to set up a news show. And you can play it once a week, twice a week, but the news that you gather and collect, you can broadcast it at least once a week. And that would be a great alternative to what is called the mainstream media, because we know the mainstream media is not going to tell us the truth, and it'll never tell us anything that we need to know. And here in California, we're just as fragmented as any other place that you can put your finger on. And I do several shows, and it is the intent is to inform the population.
Okay. Sister Fran, you raised a real interesting point, something we get to think about. It's fun about maybe missing pages of history also and create their own news, do a news media. Or do a news type of show where we can inform our people and transform the kind of ideas. We also have another caller on us. The caller just came on. Last number is 0113. Welcome to Mr. Page's History. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, please. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I think it's an excellent idea. I would say this, though. One thing that I would caution, particularly if it's a Pan-African-centered media outlet, and that is this. To simply inform Africans of where we are without linking that to where we need to go, and specifically our move back to centering our development around the continent and then moving back out, I think it does a disservice to Africans to inform them and not strategically link it to where we know we eventually got to go, and that is the redevelopment of Africa and then back out to the world.
To my caller there, you made an interesting point. Max, where are you from? What community are you calling out from?
I'm calling out of Michigan.
Hold on, Michigan. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. All right, let's in terms of let's continue the discussion. I'm just real interested in terms of when you're talking about developing these institutions to do the kind of things we want to do, and I'm gonna open it up from any member of Ms. Page's History. In terms of financially, how are you conceiving how to raise resources to go from an idea to make this come a reality? Can anyone else speak to that? Because we recognize every time we have institutions to try to reflect the interests of the people, we have a tendency to run short in the area. How will we be able to convince the people that this institution is of necessity where they will see the need to support it financially? I'll just leave it open to any of the members of Mr. Page's History. You can speak to it.
This is Susie out of Richmond. I think one way to keep try to attempt to keep Missing Pages of History going is through the raffle concept. I know it's hard because economically people are struggling, but when you run it on a quarterly basis, and basically what we want to do when we put our ideas out there is just see if we can get individuals to be planned givers. And this way that this can ensure us, at least on that quarterly basis, we have funds to continue to get our communications out there to the community on top of actually letting them know who we are and what we stand for.
So we see one of the techniques Mr. History used in terms of being self-sufficient is this concept of raffles. I also understand y'all do something sort of different from most nonprofit organizations. Y'all have organized or y'all have established dues process for membership expected to finance a lot of their work through that dues process, which will allow you at least to maintain to stay afloat until other creative means can be reached. That's okay. Now, in closing, we got about 4 minutes. So I'd like to give a statement for each individual, and this is my question to you. From the day forward, what can you say to the people that will ensure the survival of Missing Pages of History? What can they do to make sure that Missing Pages of History thrives and survives and be able to continue its path towards building the kind of programs that we have articulated today to make sure they be a part of our communities throughout the world? What would you like to say to people, Sister Kit? What can they do to help maintain Missing Pages of History?
Well, you can listen to the radio shows and see the television shows and tell people about it and tell them that this is a good mean of communication and you'll get good news.
Okay, stay informed. Okay, Sister Jill on Philly, what would you say to that question?
Well, this is Mikhail, who's in the other room right now. But what we can do is make sure that people know that the goals that we aim to achieve are for their service and for their benefit, and that they have an opportunity now to be heard. We have various ideologies and religions and so on and so forth, but we can communicate on some basic levels that supersede some of that, and we can also learn from each other because an ideology is simply the study of ideas, and ideas can change and ideas can grow. So we're an opportunity for people to communicate and to really begin to build institutions irregardless of a particular frame of view or a particular opinion.
Okay, Sister Susie out of Richmond.
Okay, pretty much I can agree with Mikhail on what Richmond could do or what Missing Pages could do as a whole.
Okay, to our supporters and friends, I think Sister Friends may be still online. What do you think as a supporter, how can you maybe help and assist in short of Missing Pages of History staying in existence?
Well, first of all, we need to let our communities know that it exists. And one great way to do that is each one teach one. Make it our business every day to communicate or connect to someone in the community, somewhere in the community, and let them know. That is one of the best ways. One-on-one communication is always the best, and it's the foundation for the growth of any organization.
Okay, we'd like to thank our guests and members of Missing Pages of History, Sister Kit out of Denmark, Sister June out of Philly, Sister Susie out of Richmond. We'd like to thank the supporters who called in, the brothers out of Michigan, and Sister Fran out of California. We'd like to thank you for your contributions to this program tonight. And we'd like to thank our listeners for listening in. We also like to thank Brother McHale. I was just told Brother I left by Brother McHale from Philly. We'd like to thank all of y'all for your participation and for the work that y'all have set about to ensure that we'll create a new and valuable institution that will play a role in transforming our underserved communities by using communication as a means to do that. For those who would like to help and support Missing Pages of History, they can contact us at P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261, or you can contact us by dialing 804-519-0357 or you can email us directly to missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Until next time, we ask you to continue to move forward ever and backwards ever, and understand we must always use information to advance our people. Until next time, make sure you make your contribution in the Missing Pages of History book. Thank you.